This episode is brought to you by Shopify. Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real life store stage, all the way to the, hey Marge, did we just hit a million orders stage? Shopify is there to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 36% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Running a growing business means getting the insights you need wherever you are. With Shopify's single dashboard, you can manage orders, shipping, and payments from anywhere. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the United States. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/ifanboy, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/ifanboy now to grow your business no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/ifanboy.
You're listening to the iFanboy Pick of the Week podcast, episode number 45, sponsored by ComicHole.com.
I sailed the wild, wild sea, climbed up a tall, tall mountain. I met an old, old man beneath the weeping willow tree. He said, now if you got some questions, go and lay them at my feet. But my time here is brief, so you'll have to pick just three. And I said, what do you do with the pieces of a broken heart?
Hey, and welcome to the iFanboy Pick of the Week podcast, episode number 45. I'm Ron, and I'm here with Connor.
Hello.
And Josh.
Who just, that's a sexy voice, Connor.
Yeah, Connor brought it down a notch.
How you doing?
Anyways.
He just did Joey, though.
Yeah, he just wrote
it. Threw you right off, didn't it?
Blew my mind. Welcome to our podcast. We are from ifanboy.com, where we talk about comics because we like to read them. And every week when the comics come out on Wednesday, we buy our stack and we read them. And one of us actually writes a review on the website at ifanboy.com.
You said it like one of us actually remembers to.
We actually remember to write a review on ifanboy.com. And then we come here and talk about it on the podcast as well as anything else that's going on in the world of iFanboy. So before we dive right into it, because it's a packed week at iFanboy, just want to quickly remind everybody that this is a review show reviewing this week's comics. So if you haven't read your week's worth of books, I would hit pause now and come back after you have, or you might get something spoiled. And we don't want to ruin anything for anybody. So that said, Josh has the pick this week, so I'll hand it over to him.
And it's difficult for me to actually review this book this week because there's a big thing that happens, and I hate knowing that there's a twist or something that happens. But literally the reason that I chose X-Factor 10, which was the pick this week, was because they threw me off at the end. Like, they, you know, I was like, whoa, I did not see that coming. As opposed to Brian Vaughn or something like that, who's got a twist at the end of every single one of his issues. I think Kirkman does that too. I just didn't see it coming in this book. Anyway, you guys were probably a little surprised to see that I picked this book.
A little bit. More than a little, I think.
My prediction didn't come through.
What was your prediction?
I thought you were going to pick Boys number 2.
Really?
Yep.
I came down hard on it last time, though.
I know, yeah, but then I thought you would see like a story in redeeming it and be like, the second one made it work. And
we're going to get to it, though.
I was surprised by your prediction of Boys. I was surprised all around.
It's a week of surprises.
Anyway, I opened up the book, and I got to say, the first thing I thought was not, oh, this is a great book. I thought, who the hell is this artist? Because there's a flashback scene at the beginning, and the artist is Roy Allen Martinez, and it's a very sketchy sort of pencil stipply style, very sort of vertigo looking almost, and I was just like, what the hell is this?
You mentioned something in your review that you actually weren't sure if it was the right comic book, and I had the exact same reaction.
Yeah, I thought, like, they'd misprinted the first couple pages.
Yeah.
I like that art, but not for this book.
Yeah, exactly.
This guy did some other book on Marvel or somebody like him, and I can't remember what it was, and it's driving me crazy.
And and then inside again was another fill-in artist, a guy filling for Dennis Calero, who is Renato Arlem.
This book just cannot hold a penciler,
which would really be a problem if Peter David didn't have it nailed.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, if there was like a Bagley Bendis, you know, like artist to pair with David, and Ryan Sook should have been it. This book would be like unstoppable.
Mm-hmm. But it sounds like I'm complaining about it, but I'm not. Basically, it starts off.
Why'd you pick it then?
This was last week. This was a really hard issue to describe because there's sort of lots of little things happened in it, and I could not find a thread, something to go through to just talk about. So I kind of touched on all the things that that I liked about it. Basically, at the beginning, we find a little bit about Damian Tripp, who's the shady head behind Singularity, who's the rival investigation firm, I guess, for X-Factor.
Which is my thing about that is reading this book, like, I don't remember why they're, like, at odds.
No, me neither.
Yeah, okay.
I should probably go back and read them. One of the points that I made in my review, and a lot of people on the board also, this is not, I can't recommend you to go pick this up at issue 10 and start reading it.
You need to pick up the trade.
Yeah, it's not going
to
make any sense.
You have to go from the beginning.
And you know, like, it's really good that there are books out there that you can pick up and read, but I do like some that, you know, reward you for coming back again and again and
It's serialized fiction. I think we make a big deal out of not being able to read it. Once again, everybody, you know, uses that as a way to criticize the X-Men, but, like, ultimately, you need to know that there are continuing characters and continuing stories, and, you know, there can be jumping on points, but sometimes it's kind of tough.
So. How heavy is that X-Men chip on your shoulder?
it's hard to walk around, that's for sure.
So anyway, we open up, we get into X-Factor's headquarters, and basically we just find out that I can't remember if it happened last issue or between last issue.
Issue is when X-Factor established their stance on the Civil War.
Yeah, they said, this is not marked as a Civil War book, but it's definitely involved with it. And basically X-Factor says, we're taking Mutant Town and we're not registering and you can all go to hell. And apparently after that, they had a party. And so Jamie wakes up, Jamie Madrox, the Multiple Man, wakes up, and he finds out that he's got a Hugh Hefner-like dupe running around because he got drunk and bumped into a wall, which, once again, I give Peter David credit, it's hilarious because that is what would happen.
Yep.
If you spawn multiples when you bump into things, then drinking would obviously cause a problem. Well, apparently this first one that came out was a bit of his lusty sort, and he's in, like, the Hugh Hefner pajamas, and he's got, like, a little look on his face that just, it's like that sort of, hey... What did you say? How you doing? That kind of thing. And we find out that he's been busy with some of the female members of the house, and then he finds out another one. And then we get to this one page where he finds out that he's just somehow slept with at least two of the girls there. And then
you're skipping over the best line when Monet whispers in his ear, "Now I know why they call you Multiple Man."
I thought that was so cheesy.
Oh, it was awesome.
Stuff like that. You love that stuff. I can appreciate it, but it's not my favorite part. He runs into Layla Miller, and I saw her on the page, and I thought to myself, I'm like, you can't. She's a kid. Please don't. But you have to, because it's right there.
And plus, also, there's the whole notion of them hooking up in the future.
Right, so basically, like, there's one of those silent frames. I love silent frames, where they don't say anything, and they kind of look at each other, and he looks a little confused, and he finally just goes, did you and I... And she's, no. And he's like, oh... And then she gives him a little... I won't give away everything. I'm not going to read it to you. But it was a really, really good page. So then we get to Strong Guy, who's the goofiest-looking character of all time, which I think they're almost playing up.
I'd hope so, because he's terrible.
There's a defector from Singularity who's going to come and tell them... he's going to drop all the Singularity secrets on them. And
whistleblower.
He's the whistleblower, exactly. But he's obviously really scared of the vast conspiracy, which is the underlying current of the issue so far, as who is Singularity and why are they so scary. And then, once again, we whip over to Quicksilver's office.
Which completely threw me off. I'm like, he has an office at a medical center? I'm like, how did that happen?
And Damage has got 70s-style hair going. I don't know what happened in there.
Richter, not Damage.
Damage, Richter, whatever they...
anymore, you mean?
Don't worry about his hair. I'm more worried, like, he's got like, art on the wall. He's got a nameplate. I mean, like, it's just...
I think that's a Promethea cover on the wall.
It's so weird.
Yeah.
And I think he's got his costume under the...
A jacket inside. Or is that a lab coat?
He's wearing a jacket, but you can see the faintness of the lightning bolt on the costume, but it's colored wrong.
Right.
The jacket and the outfit are colored the same color, which I think is a mistake. But because the last issue, he had the overcoat with his costume
on. It could be a lab coat. He's in a medical center.
Why is he in the medical center?
Because he's bringing people back with their powers.
Well, because basically...
medical equipment.
They're picking up the House of M threads this book. And he's apparently the one who can heal, and he's got, like, some higher purpose born-again thing where now he says he's only healing people, they only get healed correctly if they're worthy to have their powers.
Yeah, which is a real trip.
Yeah. And so there's all this stuff going on in this book, and it's
he's got an inbox full of papers. like who's writing Quicksilver a memo? You know, like it's just like.
And on the front, does it say like to Quicksilver, or does it say
there's
Pietro?
Actually a poster of a little kitten hanging on a tree that says "Hang in there." No, I'm kidding. There's not, but that's an office cliche anyway.
And so then we get to the very end.
Is this thing on?
And this, just, I'm trying to move on, and there Sorry. Is a thing that happens which I just don't see. I was like, oh wow.
You got knocked out of your chair.
I really did. It was a real gasper, and I don't get them very often. And I was like, wow, basically, I can't wait to find out what happens next.
Cool.
I really hope it's real, because the character who's involved in it is stupid. And I...
Yeah.
Yeah.
Connor hates Strong Guy.
Why? Oh. I love Strong Guy. Strong Guy was the heart of Peter David's X-Factor team.
He's stupid.
Whatever. All right.
Anyway, my only complaint about this issue is that there was a bit of talk this week on the website about Greg Land and his supposed use of photo reference and things like that. And this guy uses a lot of photo reference.
But photo referencing is fine. That wasn't what the complaint was about.
No, I know. It's not my favorite style. It's not bad.
Well, there's a difference between photo referencing and tracing photos. Yeah.
I know. I'm talking about just stylistically. Like, all of the backgrounds in this book are clearly taken from photos that are just sort of sketched over. Like, there's vehicles and things like that.
Are you stating that as fact, or are you criticizing it?
It really looks like that. It's not my favorite.
Did you like Jinx?
Yeah, I did, but it worked for that book, and for some reason I don't like it in here.
That makes no sense. So Jinx is worse than this book was.
Well, when I first looked at Jinx, I didn't like it, but the story won me over, so it didn't bother me. This guy's not going to be – I assume he's not going to be the artist, and also, you know, what also leads to that dissatisfaction is the fact that Sook and Calero, I thought both had a different tone than I really liked this book. I think Calero uses a lot of photo reference if you look at the cover. But this is really exact. It's one of those like things where it looks like they lightbox the background and then draw the characters on top of it. It's
I couldn't even do that, so I'm not one to criticize. I think it looked fine.
No,
so.
it's a taste thing. I'm not saying it's bad. I'm not saying it's just not my favorite kind of thing. But it definitely makes you feel like it's in the city. The penciling is very rendered. You can actually see all the cross hatching and stuff that he uses for shadows and things like that. I didn't think he was that good. Yeah, I don't want.
I don't think he was that bad.
I definitely
missed the Calero dude. Yeah. So.
I think it's more to do with the fact that they keep switching. And just pick somebody. I don't care who it is at this point.
Yeah.
Continuity. Yep.
But again, like we said in the beginning, Peter David's just got like he's so much fun to read. Jamie Madrox.
Right now, this is the best under the radar book Marvel's putting out.
I would say so. Yep. And it really took a lot for you guys to convince me to buy it. So. You know, if there's any, and we've heard from people on the site who like picked it up because we said we liked it, and then some of them dropped it. And you've kind of got to read it all in the beginning and pay a lot of attention. It's a book that kind of rewards you for sticking around and for paying attention. Like, I'm going to say it, but it's a little like The Wire in that sense. Like, it's not so obvious; it doesn't jump out at you. But over time, I think it's really rewarding.
And while I'm generally a proponent of the monthly book, I do have a feeling that this probably reads very well in trade form.
Probably, yeah.
Rod, do you think this is the best mutant book?
That's a very good question. It very might be. I mean, jury's still out on Brubaker.
So at this this month in time, is this the best Marvel X-Men book?
Weed and Astonishing still wins.
Okay. Yeah, this isn't a very typical X-Men.
Yeah, exactly. This is offbeat X-Men. I mean, this is almost like indie X-Men, to be honest with you. I mean, you know, it's more talky than action. I mean,
there was no action in this.
Well, there was at the end.
Yeah, but that's so. If you're one of the people who hang out on the site who likes a lot of action.
This is not a big fighter. I mean, this is subtle talking heads. This is almost like, you know, like you know, kind of Josh said, you know, like HBO drama X-Men.
By the way, speaking of how bad I thought the art was. On the very last page, I still couldn't tell you how the person died. That dies.
Well, way to ruin it. Well, we said we were
spoiling. Oh, a person dies.
Yeah,
a
person does. He punched him, and
doesn't look like his windpipe. It doesn't look like he's wearing. Doesn't look like the guy who punches has got a fist going. It's just really badly done.
Yeah, no, I can see that.
I thought he was crunching a shoulder, and
I thought maybe he was choking him with his tie.
See, that's why it's bad art. You can't tell what is happening.
I thought he karate chopped him in the windpipe, which is exactly what it looks like.
Three different people saw three different actions from three.
Well, what I see is right there. It didn't confuse me at all.
All right. We got a lot to get through.
Yeah, let's move along but that's the point. It's like pick it up from the beginning, read it that way. It's a great book.
You just can't stop talking, can you?
It's my friggin' pick, isn't it? I'm not gonna be around for a little while.
Oh, don't tell them that.
I quit. let's talk about let's switch gears a little bit and go to a completely different type of book. 52 this week, which we're talking about more, which I can only assume is a good sign.
I guess.
You guess?
Things are actually happening. So yeah. That's probably good. Yeah.
This is Act 2 now, so Act 2 you would think would be more happening.
Yeah, it would be more action-oriented,
They paced it in a different way than we're used to in comic books, which is why we were like, nothing's happening. But if you look at it in the form of a novel, it makes perfect sense.
Right. I gotta say, I really liked it, this issue.
I don't know squat about Lobo, but I actually laughed a couple times. I thought it was pretty funny.
I thought the whole Lobo talking to Starfire, is that her name?
Yeah.
And from the vantage point of Animal Man and Adam Strange in the spaceship and just seeing empty speech bubbles was awesome.
Yeah.
And the one panel where he just rips her top off was awesome.
I didn't quite understand that, because the twist of the end of this, again, spoilers I guess coming up, is that he needs their help and he's like turned over a new leaf, kind of like a board again Lobo.
Yeah.
So why is he ripping her top off and making...
Even born-again Lobos like boobs. They just don't like killing.
Okay. Yeah, he's smoking. He's savage.
I love that. Like, it's one of those postmodern comic book things now where, like, well, how can he smoke? And they're like,
well, they even said that. They're like, who's the guy who's smoking out in space or something like that? Didn't they say that? Or?
Yeah, the vacuum of space.
Yeah.
My biggest problem, again, I mean, I really liked the story. I think the story's getting a lot better. The biggest problem is still the art. It's just...
Yeah, the art is just rushed. That's what I feel like.
And, like, Animal Man's got different levels of facial stubble from one page to the next. And he's got almost a full beard because they've been out in space for a long time on one page. And the next page, he's almost clean shaven. It's just... Mm-hmm. Oh, I wish they could get somebody better on this book.
This is the guy. This is Chris Bautista. This is the guy who was on the panel that one time.
Yeah, too bad. Poor guy.
Didn't say anything.
Yeah, because
they
don't invite him to the conference calls.
But it is rushing. I mean, not rushing. The story's rushing up on us now, so I think stuff's going to happen.
Yeah. Although I don't know if I like Lobo with like dreadlocks.
Does he have dreadlocks?
Yeah. That's not typical Lobo hair, but whatever.
I didn't know anything about Lobo, and if I had never read it, I did by the end of the issue.
Right.
They told you exactly who he was again. Yep. The Mark Waid thing in the end.
Perfect.
Great stuff.
Perfect. Yep. I mean, I've heard Greg Rucka all over the place talking about how cool these two-page things are. And they really are.
I don't know why they didn't do this from the beginning.
Yeah.
So stupid. Mm. And we get the first and Red Tornado saying 52. Which really makes me wonder how Red Tornado goes from how he is on the last page to Justice League.
Well, that's part of the fun of it.
Apparently there are...
Plus the fact that something...
I thought they said no characters in 52 would appear in 1 year later.
No, that wouldn't make any sense.
They did say that.
No.
Yeah.
They said none of these main characters.
None of the main characters.
Right.
In 52 would appear in the other books. But
Oh, right. Okay, yeah. So is Red Tornado not a main character then?
No. The main characters are The Question, Renee,
Starfire,
Steel,
Animal Man, Adam Strange, Booster Gold.
All right, blah, blah, blah.
Plus, we know something bad's happening coming down the line for Animal Man, so that's also interesting.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I like it. I mean, beyond the art problems, I like it.
Yeah. It's picking up, and it's still fun. It makes me want to come back, because otherwise, if it wasn't any good by now, I would have stopped reading it, I think, if I wasn't still intrigued, I think, at this point.
All right.
Lobo's very bad, by the way. That's what I learned from this.
He's a tough guy. He's kind of the annoying 90s DC. Like,
extreme.
When everything went in that way in the 90s, like... You know, Marvel beget Cable, and DC beget Lobo.
Right, but part of it is Giffen's kind of tongue-in-cheek commentary on that.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah. But that was the answer to
Lobo has
the
different
90s
haircuts
thing.
In every one of these, which would make sense.
Yeah,
to
I like the Elvis cut. That's awesome. So,
although he was very funny in the Giffen Justice League. Mm-hmm. Yeah. That was probably the only time I ever liked him. Go ahead.
I'm moving things along. Since you brought up Cable, I think that's a perfect entrance to Ron. You were going to mention a little something about the adjectiveless
X-Men. Oh, yeah, just real
X-Men.
Quick. Adjectiveless X-Men came out this week.
By the way, when people say, I want to talk about adjectiveless, I have no idea what that means.
It's just X-Men.
Just say X-Men.
No, adjectiveless is the vernacular.
Yes.
I don't say 616 either.
Yes, first post.
FTW.
So the thing is that I've been mulling over this because I've come out saying I like Brubaker's Uncanny better than Carrie's adjectiveless, and I haven't really felt tight with Carrie. But after this issue, I kind of see where he's going. I kind of like it. And Cable has been introduced to this new take on the book. And apparently there's something going on between Cable and Sabretooth that has my curiosity piqued. But the thing is that this was awful because I can't stand Chris Bocciolo's art. And I'm sure there's going to be millions of people who love his art and they're going to flame me, and that's fine. But he's been on X-Men before. I hated it then. I feel like this is a rehash.
I cannot tell what's going on at all.
You can't tell what's going on. I mean, it's he's not right for – his art looks great and everything, but he's not right for an X-Men book. And I don't want to say, like, it shouldn't evolve past the John Byrne, Mark Silvestri style of the 80s. You know what I mean? Like, I don't want to say that. But unfortunately, you kind of need to know what's going on. And also, there are 6 freaking inkers. It took 6 people to ink this book. I feel like that's a sign that something's wrong.
You ready for it?
Yeah.
I'm dropping it.
Dun-dun-dun. I wouldn't talk you out of it.
I'm dropping it with this issue. I mean, I bought this issue, but this is it for me. Yep. It's too hard to read the book.
And the Beast looked awful, and blah, blah.
I shouldn't have to work this hard to understand this comic book.
Agreed.
It's in no way new reader friendly.
Nope.
And I wanted to give Mike Carey a lot of credit. I feel like...
Yeah, I want to like it.
It's just I can't do it anymore. Yeah. It's too hard.
I'm a really big Mike Carey fan, so I'm not quite done yet. But if I didn't have that, there's no way I would keep going with this.
Unfortunately, I have leased my life to the X-Men, and I can never drop it. So, yeah. In the spirit of segues and talking about dropping books,
I just knowing Mike Carey, I read his whole Hellblazer run.
Just step all over the segue.
I want to finish it.
He can't stop segments. He just keeps going.
He can't. Yeah, that's why we've been running late this past month.
Is freaking relevant. On Hellblazer, he would do an arc where I had no idea what was going on, and then all of a sudden the next arc would be amazing. And so I'm kind of hoping that happens with X-Men. That's all.
You see where I come from, that's called inconsistent.
It is, but the good stuff makes up for the bad. I believe Grant Morrison would fall into that category as well.
I will go out on record saying, and thank you for giving me another segue. I'll go on record saying that Grant Morrison's only thing that I've liked has been his Justice League, and that's it, honestly. Because this week All-Star Superman came out, and I dropped it.
Too bad, because this was my pick of the week. This was awesome.
I knew that was going to happen.
It was awesome.
It was good.
You didn't set that up ahead of time, did you?
No,
we didn't. That was awesome. I had no idea.
This entire issue takes place inside a prison that Lex Luthor's in, because he's been convicted of all these crimes against humanity, so he's sent to die. And so Clark Kent comes to interview him in prison. The entire thing is the two of them in prison talking. And while this happens, all this mayhem breaks out, and Lex spends the entire issue almost narrating how great he is. Meanwhile, in the background, Clark Kent is secretly saving his ass from all these people in prison with his Superman powers. It's awesome.
Great.
It was a great issue.
So you didn't buy it, Ron?
Well, I bought it as the first step of my combination of the All-Star line.
Oh.
No, he means this issue.
Yeah, I didn't buy the issue. Yeah, no, I didn't buy this issue in my first...
You said I dropped it with this issue, like you got it this week.
Oh, no. I dropped it at the store. I had it in my hands. I said, you know, I'm done with All-Star.
Nice.
F this.
I did that after issue 1.
Yeah.
This was great.
All right.
Did he take your segue, or is that where you were going?
That was my segue. It was about Morrison and dropping books.
Oh, okay.
So there you go. You're not supposed to explain the segue.
You know what?
And now we have no segue, so what's next?
Well, let me just mention briefly another Superman book, which is Action.
Oh, there's a segue.
Action Comics.
on the Superman note.
Action Comics always been a Superman book, but there was a brief period of time where, I think it was in the 80s, where it wouldn't just feature Superman, it would also feature a lot of different guest stars. So it would all be like an action-y book, hence the title.
Does this one guest star Richard Donner?
And this one has Richard Donner in it, and has Joel Silver, and...
really?
No. So this is sort of in that spirit. This is just a ton of guest stars. There's Superman has basically all the heroes and villains get stolen by this collector, this alien collector, who's going to auction off these superheroes as toys, because they're huge. The collector's a big guy, like Galactus size. And
it's a meta comment.
And... But when they take them, they nullify all the power. So basically, all these superheroes have to work together just as regular humans. But it's like Robin, Nightwing, Superman, Aquaman of Maine, and some other lesser known.
It's like Tom's of Maine, the toothpaste, but it's a superhero.
Characters in Firestorm, and it's just a lot of fun. And this is really getting back to the old spirit. I think Superman books are in an upswing right now.
Cool.
That was just my brief Superman thing.
So speaking of an upswing.
I don't know where
you're going. well, I was gonna say,
you modified my segue, so we'll do this one first. I think a couple of weeks ago, because it was only 2 weeks ago, we came out after reading The Boys number one, And most of us were not, we were not really big fans. But issue 2 just came out this week, because I have a feeling this was a double-sized issue, and they decided to do it this way.
Yeah, because they didn't want the extra price, and right. Maybe.
And with this, the first issue is a little makes a little more sense and has a little more point.
I'm still not sold.
I'm bored.
Are you?
And yeah. You know what bothers me is that I'm trying to figure out who the wee guy name, whatever his name is, the guy whose girlfriend got killed. Mm-hmm. I was trying to figure out who he looks like.
Simon he looks Pegg. Like Tim from Shaun of the Dead.
Simon
or
Pegg.
Tim from Spaced.
Oh. Simon Pegg.
Carl Pilkington.
No, he doesn't look like
no,
him. Yes, he does.
Simon
if you shave
Pegg.
The goatee, it's Carl. Well,
it's Simon Pegg.
Simon Pegg looks exactly like him.
Okay.
Even down to the goatee. But this is boring me to tears, and I'm not probably going to pick up issue 3.
Well, you know what bugs me is that I've heard everywhere on their podcasts, things like people are talking about how great this is,
and it's the new Preacher, which made me laugh.
It's yeah. Not even close to the new Preacher.
Why would anyone freaking say that except for us?
This is
seriously.
This is.
It's not even in the realm.
It's not even like nothing against Derek Robinson or Garth Ennis. It's not.
This is to Preacher what Alan Moore's like Rob Liefeld work is to Watchmen. Like it's not. They're not in the same realm.
Okay.
No?
Yeah, no, it's not. I mean, and I think the whole it's going to out-preacher. I mean, even Garth Ennis has said it. That's just something to get people interested or whatever. You know
yeah.
What I mean? But at the same time,
people are running with it all over the place.
Yeah, exactly. It's just so. It just.
It's
just
insulting to Preacher, really.
Yeah, totally.
It just doesn't have the same heart that Preacher did. For whatever reason, there's that thing that just makes me. And it's not very far into it. What I was trying to say is that I liked this a lot more this time, and I think having. I think last time I was almost insulted that it was like so anti-superhero, but now that I think about it, it's you know, I can see that if that's the take on the book, that makes sense. That's a story.
Right,
that
but I'm so – I mean, powers, Civil
over,
War,
I'm
just
over.
So sick of it.
It's yeah, but boring. None of those actually place the superheroes as the bad guy. It's more in a world where
– Civil War?
The Authority did.
The Authority, yeah.
No, but see, at the end of the day in the Authority, like they were still doing good.
But they were still,
it was still on the point of the view.
It was
of
still the anti superheroes and the traditional superheroes were the bad guys.
Yeah,
it was
yeah.
A whole story arc
started,
where like,
yeah.
The Avengers analogs were like awful.
Yeah, that's true. I guess so. And you know, like I heard, I think it was on Fanboy Radio that Garth Ennis and Derek Robbins are on. They were talking about this like it was a second coming. And I really like Garth Ennis to listen to him speak, you know, and I found it interesting. And it made me want to give it a better chance. But still, it's not Preacher. It's not.
You just like the accent.
I do.
Yeah.
It's
all right.
Dublin.
Okay, wrap it up.
I thought this was better. Last thing I wanted to say about books this week was I picked up The Trials of Shazam because it was a light week, and I think I just was curious about trying something new. It was by Judd Winnick with art by Howard Porter, and it was okay. I don't really know where it's going yet. I don't know anything about Howard Porter. I mean, about Shazam, Captain Marvel. However,
I've heard the art was worth
art,
checking out.
Howard Porter is like come a long way.
I completely forgot about this
from his
story.
JLA stuff. And it's like this whole painterly thing. He did all the art himself, inks, colors, everything.
Well, that book will come out on time.
I think he's pretty fast. JLA never got behind.
Yeah.
And he was doing
I loved his art on JLA. I'm like, and I loved his art. I loved his run on Flash. I mean, I really like his art.
You
so.
Would be hard-pressed to know if this was the same guy, actually.
Oh, maybe I won't like it then.
I don't know. It's sort of – you know those Marvel books? Like I think it's Richard Eisenhoff.
Oh, I hate
sort
it.
Sort of in that coloring style.
Oh God!
I think
that's
just impressive. That's
the digital coloring crap. Oh, that
yeah,
the origin and
it looks.
Oh.
But you know what? This looks a little more like it looks like watercolor a little more.
All right, cool.
I liked it. I'm gonna come back and buy it again. It's a different kind of book than I've been reading.
I want to mention one last book, which was CSI Dying in the Gutters, which maybe not a lot of people might not know about it. But
are you just doing this so that Rich Johnston will plug us?
No. This was a lot of fun. Basically, the story is. The CSI television show has a series of comic books that people
do you read it regularly?
I bought the first two arcs and got bored with it, but I came back for this one because this one takes place in a Las Vegas comic convention, and the whole murder mystery is Rich Johnston from Comic Resources is murdered, and the suspects are all major comic book figures. And it's a lot of fun because they're really playing with Stephen Grant wrote it, and they're really playing with the images of these people. Like every time you see Joe Quesada's walking around, he's got two girls in his arms, he's got a cigar, he's got an entourage of like Robert Kirkman and Ed Brubaker and Peter David, and he's being an asshole to everybody. He's always offering people TVs. Like he pisses somebody off and he goes, "Oh, well, you want a TV?" and
does it all look like them?
Some of the likenesses are better than others, but they're pretty close. And then there's a really funny moment where Greg Rucka and Ed Brubaker run into each other on the floor of the con. Apparently, according to the story, haven't seen each other since Gotham Central broke up, so it's like an ex-girlfriend.
That's genius.
And Ed Brubaker's like, I would have thought Gotham Central would have gone on longer without me. And Greg's like, you know, it's very funny. And they've all got, basically what happens is...
It's very inside baseball, though, right?
Oh, very. But, I mean, that's why I bought it. It's funny.
Stephen Grant's a smart, smart dude.
Basically what happens is Quesada's walking around being an asshole to everybody. And to the indie guys, to the guys that used to work at Marvel, to basically anybody who's not in his little crew. And so they're going to this panel discussion, and he's at the microphone, and he's gonna talk, but first he's going to make fun of Rich Johnson. So he brings him up on stage, and Rich Johnson touches the microphone and gets electrified and dies. So basically somebody had set up to kill Joe Quesada, and by accident killed Rich Johnson. Now who killed him? Because the whole issue was Quesada being an ass. So now you've got all these suspects, like Robert Kirkman and Chuck Dixon, and everybody you could think of is in here. And
where are you going, money. Joe?
So it's a six-issue miniseries. It's going to feature all of them.
Oh, it's six issues? Jesus Christ.
And somebody is going to be the killer at the end.
Well, that's awesome. I'll read that.
Connor's copy in 6 months.
I was just going to say, I'll read that at your house.
It was just a lot of fun, especially if you know who all these people are, which anybody listening here would know.
I don't know if six issues is too long for
that.
There are B stories. You know, there's other crimes.
And you
going
actually
on.
Have to deal with like the CSI people, right?
Yeah, they investigate the crime. CSI is my favorite show. So.
Oh, okay. Well,
really, I got about 2 minutes into one episode, and I was like, oh god, make it stop.
Anyway. Real quickly, Cable and Deadpool came out this week. We talked about it on the site. Go to ifanboy.com to look at it. And
yeah, other books,
Civil War.
Things like that. Want to talk about them, go to the Pick of the Week thread. And there, you can talk about
it. Go to ifanboy, check out the Pick of the Week. So now we're going to move to listener mail. But first, we want to call out a listener mail that didn't come to us that actually went to Wizard this week.
What?
Yeah. Some you might have read on ifanboy.com or whatever, but we were very excited to receive a voicemail from Craig from Oklahoma on Wednesday asking us if we knew that we were in mentioned in Wizard this month. And I didn't know this. Did you guys know it? Or?
No idea.
Well, I haven't bought Wizard in 3 years, so I wouldn't.
Luckily, I heard the voicemail before I went to the comic book store, so I walked in the comic book store and immediately just opened up a copy of Wizard, and I told them I'd pay for it. And sure enough, there was a letter in the Magic Words section.
So Wizard didn't mention us?
No. It was Steve McCoy from Ottawa wrote in to Wizard saying, hey, how come you guys don't talk about podcasting, and used us as the example of a good podcast.
They spelled Connor's name right.
Which is a miracle.
C-O-N-O-R. There
and
it
then,
is.
And then, of course, and so he says, you know, why don't you guys check this out? And of which, of course, there's this typical snarky Wizard response that doesn't say anything. And they pull in a pro to find out what the pro thinks of. And they get Alan Heinberg, who then goes and plugs some other podcasts. And my main question is, yo, Alan Heinberg, what's up? You don't dig the iFanboy?
Wow, you called him out.
I'm calling Alan Heinberg. If you're listening to this, I'm calling you out.
He's not listening.
I don't know what he's not listening. Hopefully, if someone who knows Alan Heinberg, I'm calling him out. Have you even listened to us? Yo, what's up, yo?
Just because we don't do interviews.
Yeah, you know, just because we don't want to talk to you about the OC, even though I would like to talk to you about the OC, if you can
or
email
Grey's
me at
ron@ifanboy.com.
You know, like, what's up? I mean, sure enough, it's nice to see other podcasts getting the plug, and all in all, it was right. But, you know, but Alan Heinberg, man, you know, you can give us some love.
Seriously, though, I really, really want to thank Steve McCoy, because that
Absolutely.
Was, like, above and beyond super cool to do. And
I think
he works at the comic book shop, spelled S-H-O-P-P-E, as in Shoppy, as in ye old Shoppy, comic book shop in Ottawa, in Canada. And thank you.
Yes, so thank you very much, Steve, for writing in about us. And everybody else, please take a note from Steve's what's the word? Use Steve as a role model.
His gumption.
His initiative in spreading the iFanboy word. We really appreciate it. And it's you, our listeners, who will help us, you know, kind of grow and become a better podcast and get more listeners. So definitely, you know, write into Wizard and Comic Shop News and leave reviews and votes on Podcast Alley and iTunes. And
message board signatures, maybe? You know,
exactly. Yeah, go to other message boards and be like, well, on iFanboy, they said, you know, because you guys are loyal. We love you. So.
And we can make this show better and do lots more things and all sorts of stuff. Yeah. But and we totally need everybody's help, because word of mouth is pretty much the only way we're going to get a lot of...
And really, we're lazy.
And specifically, a lot of the regulars on iFanboy.com said a lot of really nice things about us. And so thank you guys. We really appreciate it. We wouldn't be here with it if it wasn't for you all. So.
Oh, totally.
Yep. So thank you, Steve. Thank you, Craig.
That was very cool.
Yeah. So that's it. A little bit of business.
Comicool.com is the best solution for discounted comics and trades. All the new Marvel, DC, Dark Horse, and Image books are 40% off. Stop by their site each month, pre-order the books, and you can get a subscription service and have them automatically sent to your house every month. In addition to current comics, they've got excellent back issues, hardcovers, trade paperbacks, everything you need, 30, 50% off. And they can arrive in your mailbox in a nice package full of very protective materials.
Hey, pack the hell out of that thing.
Check them out, comicool.com. Let them know you heard about them at ifanboy.com.
Yeah, tell them we sent you.
Definitely.
So it's back to school week this week and next week, and apparently that's rubbed off on the iFanboy listeners because we received essays from you people, like long-ass emails.
Paragraphs upon paragraphs.
We can read a couple of sentences, basically.
Yeah.
I can't spend 20 minutes. I mean, there was the one guy who's like, he you know, was sick and comics helped him feel better. We're going to read that one. But the rant.
So like people like Grand Auditor and some other folks, you know, thank you for sending those emails. We really do appreciate it. We will write you back, but we probably won't be able to read the long ones on the podcast. So.
He agrees with Ron that he doesn't like comic book covers that don't tell the story.
Yeah. So our first email comes from Carlos. Carlos is thanking us for suggesting Strangers in Paradise. He really enjoyed it. He had a couple quick questions. Was the original issues in color or black and white like the trade? And the answer to that is the first two volumes were in black and white. Then the beginning of volume 3 was in color for, I believe it was 14 issues. And
really?
Then they went back to black and white, and that stayed in black and white ever since.
Oh, I didn't know.
Did he ever mention anything about that?
Yeah, what it was that for a short time period, Strangers in Paradise was published under the Homage Comics line under Wildstorm by Jim Lee. Yeah. And it was when Homage launched, and it was Strangers in Paradise, Astro City, and a couple other books. I think Leave It to Chance. And what happened was that Terry was handing the black and whites
they
over.
They were coloring
to,
it.
To, well, no, no, no. They put it. He agreed to do it.
They
color.
Didn't tell him.
No, he agreed, but he handed it over to a colorist that he didn't work with and didn't feel very comfortable with, and he wasn't satisfied with the product, and so he just said, "I'm going back to black and white." And then eventually, he left Homage and went back to abstract. And actually, in the panel at San Diego, he revealed that he now does have a colorist that he likes that does all the covers.
Yeah.
And I wouldn't be surprised if one day we see a full color version of Strangers in Paradise, similar to how they just released another set of Lord of the Rings DVDs.
they've been anyway. You know what else they've been releasing constantly? I see Battle Pope is coming out now, like it's a new book. People are like, yeah. Ooh, there's a new Battle Pope. They're all the old Battle Popes. They're just colorizing them and sending them out.
Well, they're just capitalizing on Kirkman's popularity.
I don't care. It's a great, great book, and people should read it, but it's not new.
People should buy it so Robert Kirkman can still make a lot of money so he can pay us. For pimping his book.
You know, I think that guy owes us more money now.
He does.
You hear that, Kirkman? We're calling you out, too.
Yeah, Kirkman, you hide behind Alan Heinberg. You're next.
I don't think you want another piece of Kirkman, to be honest with you.
Kirkman already chewed me up. So. Carlos also asks what other independent trades that we recommend reading, and thanks for the recommendation. If you like Strangers in Paradise, Josh, you should read.
I'm drawing a blank. Were you going to say Box Office Poison?
Box Office Poison, yeah.
Box Office Poison. I feel like we've said that a billion times.
Or the how about the whatchamacallit? The Waiting Place by Sean McKeever.
Oh, it's a great one. Here's another one. Stylish Vittles. Yep. I never see it in comic shops. I just got the third trade after I picked it up from the guy who wrote them a few years ago in San Diego. It's a very small story, relationship book kind of thing, but it's really well done. Great artist.
Google it, because I don't know who the publisher is. I forget the name.
I won't read
that
book.
You can get it on Amazon or check and see if Comical has it.
You won't read it?
No.
Why, because the name's stupid?
I hate the word vittles.
Yeah.
It's noise. It annoys me, therefore I will not read the book.
Anyway, and Carlos Ashel says he wrote...
Yes.
This is,
you think I'm kidding, I'm not.
He wrote in... He wrote in a couple of weeks ago, and where he said, "For the record, my girlfriend is not a chubby goth, and she wasn't literally pissing on my comics. That would truly be disturbing. I guess pissing on the comics would be bad too." Ha!
Way to act it out.
So, and they're getting married this November. So, congratulations, Carlos.
We told him to dump her.
Yes,
because she didn't like comics.
So, congratulations, Carlos, and the non-chubby goth girl who doesn't piss on comics.
don't ever listen to our advice.
Okay, our next email comes from Alex Farhado, which I probably butchered the last name.
I think that's right.
Okay. Alex did write an essay,
it's
and
Alexis.
We can't read it all. Alexis, I'm sorry. Alexis.
Alexis.
Alexis. he did write us a long essay, but basically the gist of it is that he's a pro. He writes a book called Kid Beowulf, and you can check that out at kidbeowulf.com. And he's one of the many pros who listen to podcasts while they draw. So thank you very much. He's an indie. It's an indie book that he puts out. And basically his question for us is that we should pick an indie title for the pick of the week. And he doesn't mean something published by Image or Dark Horse. And he actually says Strangers in Paradise doesn't count anymore because Terry Moore is making a living off of it.
What does that have to do with anything?
He thinks that it's something that's been produced and published by someone on the fringes of the industry. He's talking about a title that's taking on the monolithic monopoly that is Diamond, a comic by some unknown, slugging it out in the trenches of Artist Alley, which we didn't even walk down at Comic-Con. Don't deny it. He saw the video.
Huh. I wonder where I got all those books I bought.
I know. Well, Alex, the video only encapsulated 30 minutes of 5 days.
And I got to tell you, maybe some of the people in Artist Alley, maybe not as camera friendly as some of the others.
Yeah, maybe. I know. I, for one, do you guys remember my frustration on Sunday after I walked around the floor about for the third or fourth time trying to find the new Strangers in Paradise, the new Stylish Vittles, the new Waiting Place, and I couldn't find it?
Yes. Yeah. You couldn't find anything you liked.
There was a lot of zombie books. There was a lot of Christian books.
Yeah, a lot of Christian books.
Yeah.
And, you know, ultimately, you know, like the thing about indie books is that they're hard to find on a weekly basis because they're hard to get in the stores, and that's part of the plight of the indies, and we feel bad for them.
You know, basically the point of the show is we pick the best issue of something, regular issue of the week, that comes out that week. And I think it's pretty much the case that most of us don't buy the regular issues of indie books.
We buy the trades.
I like to. I would if I could. And when I worked in Manhattan, I did because, you know, there's a bigger selection at Midtown or Hanley's.
Right.
But unfortunately, my store is smaller, and they can't take. You know, I don't pre-order. So
I just don't usually hear about stuff until after it's come out.
Until it's already popular.
Yeah, that's. I'm so behind. I just heard about this new thing, The Matrix. I totally told that joke earlier this week.
You did. It was funny then. It was yesterday, actually. But the thing is that there's another podcast by our good friend Charlito and Mr. Phil called Indie Spinner Rack, which everybody should check out. Which they fucking absorb the indie books, and
it's a great fun show.
And their whole purpose is for indie books, and we listen to it. And that's actually I've taken some notes of some books I want to go find based off their recommendations.
I would take issue with the fact that you have to be struggling and poor to be indie.
I do too.
Yeah, I do too.
Independent means you're doing it on your own.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, just because they're being successful at it doesn't mean we shouldn't. I mean, basically, when we say pick of the week, we want to. I mean,
it's also whatever's best. We're not going to be political about it.
We're all about helping out whoever we can. Like when I tell you Box Office Poison, it's because I know Alex Robinson isn't loaded, and I want people to read his stuff. When I recommend books to you here, it's not with a political purpose. It's with the purpose of I want people out there to read good stuff that they may not know about. That's why we do this. I guarantee you, if one of us reads like an indie book that we love, we will talk about it.
Yeah, absolutely. And the thing is that I'm gonna check out Kid Beowulf. And if you are publishing an indie book that isn't distributed by Diamond and you're struggling and you're trying to get something out there, email us at contact@ifanboy.com. Send us a copy. We'll give you our address. We'll read it. And if that week it's the best thing we read, we'll review it. Mm-hmm. But I mean, at Alexis really made a plea saying that we have such a voice and we really need to help the indie books. We want to. It's just that the format of our show is around what comes out every week. So,
and also we've said it before. We just are not finding things we like. Maybe they're out there. Exactly. We just don't know about them. But we look.
I'm tired of zombies. So.
Yeah.
All right. So thank you, Alexis, for writing in. And please keep listening to us, even though we don't agree with you.
We support the corporate whore.
Yes, and we're going to read Kid Beowulf. So. Our next email comes from Adam from...
Yarmouth. North Yarmouth.
And where is that? What state is that?
Yarmouth is in Maine. It's about just about 10 miles north of where I grew up in Brunswick.
Why don't you read his email for us,
All right.
Arthur?
He told us that we had a really good use of the word wicked in the last podcast, and I listened to it, and I think it was Augie who said that. So, there you go.
He did.
Lastly, I had a question. I have mostly been a Marvel fanboy, but I wanted to start picking
up a couple...
He wrote Marvel! Oh, he did write Marvel. People in Maine love to do that. If you go into Maine, you'll see bumper stickers all over the place that are spelled out in phonetic Maine speech.
He wrote Marvel, M-A-R-V-A-L.
Marvel. That's awesome. Marvel fanboy, I wanted to start picking up a couple of DC books. I just wondering what you guys thought a good floppies I could jump into. That sounds dirty. You guys got a good floppy I could jump into? Ones that have good writing, but hasn't been in print so long that it'd be impossible to catch up with the story.
You lost at the end there, fell apart.
Yeah, I need to get to the point. People are going to get sick of that joke real fast if they haven't.
That's a tough question.
Oh, is it me?
It's anybody. I don't know.
I don't think I have an answer.
A DC book that you can jump onto.
Detective Comics?
No, it hasn't been in print so long that it would be impossible to catch up on the story.
There's no story to catch up on.
Detective Comics.
All you gotta know who Batman is, and you're fine. If you don't know Batman is, then you shouldn't be listening to the show.
You could go back a few months and pick up some of the 1 year later has had okay places to jump on.
Yeah, I would say jump on to Green Lantern or to Green Arrow or to
You're recommending Green Lantern?
Yeah. He wants a DC floppy. He wants to feel the DC kind of thing.
No.
It's not a good book.
It's been better.
Don't listen to him.
Robin.
Robin's go back. I'd say 3 or 4 issues. Teen Titans. You find the back issues. Those are great.
No, Teen Titans requires you to know too much about the characters. All right,
whatever.
Okay. It's very good, but too much backstory involved.
I wish I could say JLA, but I certainly can't.
Detective Comics, Batman, even Robin. I know these are all similar, but it seems to be the Bat books are really going to a place where you can jump on.
Mm-hmm. Oh, and any of the Brave New World books that just came out, the Atom, Martian Manhunter, like all that, they just relaunched a whole bunch of new titles. Shazam.
I don't know if it's any good yet, but the first one just came out. So go to the comic store
and ask the guy who works there for Brave New World comics by DC, and they'll show you them.
It's like a buck, and you get 80 pages.
Yeah, go for it. All right, our next comes from Will in the deep south. In the deep south. My notes say the deal south.
That's my fault.
First off, he wants to say he hates the podcast. No, he's kidding.
Jerk.
He loves it. He's trying to be original, but it didn't work.
Oh, not jerk.
Anyway, he's been trying to get
Connor
his friends
out of his chair.
He's been trying to get into his friends in the comics and hasn't been too successful. They don't really like the concept of art and following it, but they are addicted to ABC's Lost. And he knows that a few of the writers on Lost are involved in comics, if you can say that. and so he's got suggestions as to trade paperbacks by the Lost writers.
Jeff Loeb, Paul Dini, Damon.
Yeah, I mean, that's the thing. Yeah, Detective Comics is written by Paul Dini, who used to be a story editor and a writer on the first 2 seasons of Lost. Jeff Loeb, who writes Superman, Batman, as well as he's starting a run at
he's
Marvel
doing Wolverine
now.
And yeah, Wolverine. He's also going to be the new Ultimates writer.
He does Heroes, though, doesn't he?
Yeah, and he does Heroes. Now he moved from... Well, he was on Smallville as supervising producer, then he moved to Lost last season, and now he's working for Heroes on NBC.
Hey, by the way, short aside, my brother called me up, and the kid that my brother was living with in L.A., he just got cast as young Lex Luthor on the episode with Ollie Queen.
Really?
Oh, cool.
Yeah.
That's cool.
Very cool. Awesome.
That's all.
So, Will, so check out anything by Jeff Loeb or Paul Dini. And there's another guy who is associated with Lost, I don't know, something Lindelof or something. And he wrote 2 issues.
He likes
of the
to
comic
start things.
He likes to start things. He doesn't like to finish them.
He wrote
David
2
Lindelof,
awesome issues.
Damon Lindelof, you're next after Alan Heinberg.
And Robert Kirkman. He's
no,
third.
No, he's in front of Robert. It's Alan Heinberg, Damon Lindelof, and then Kirkman. Kirkman's a constant, so. So Alan Heinberg and Damon Lindelof, you two talk, and you guys can team up.
Have you been watching Colbert?
I I'm sick of Colbert. That's the funny thing.
You know what? If you get the three of them together, the three of us could rumble.
Yeah, that'd be awesome.
You know what?
I'll take them all down.
I don't know if I have a good answer for what they should read, even if they like Lost.
If they don't like art, then they're not going to like it no matter who's writing.
No, they like art. They don't.
Well,
he's trying to loop
them in by saying, "Hey, these people are on Lost. Read this."
So I would say
Jeff Loeb did a bunch of work with Tim Sale, like
The Long Halloween.
The Long Halloween.
Long Halloween, yes.
The Spider-Man one with
Blue?
Yeah, Spider-Man Blue and Daredevil Yellow. And
Although
Hulk Gray.
The Batman ones are the best. Long Halloween and Dark Victory.
Look for things by Jeff Loeb. I think they'll
like
that.
Oh, Superman For All Seasons.
Oh, that's
yes.
the one.
That's a great one. Get that one.
So, it's a beautiful trade with nice, beautiful art. It's very very sort of Sim Sales art is very sophisticated. I'm trying to think of something in sort of more the genre of Lost. And when it comes to that, I would say pick up like the first couple of books of Why the Last Man for people, maybe.
Yeah, that might work.
Oh, yeah, okay.
It's similar. Yeah, that might work.
I was gonna say Brian K. Vaughan stuff, probably. Yeah.
Same wavelength.
Or Ex Machina.
Yeah. Okay. Thank you, Will. Hope it works. Hope your friends come on board. Our last email comes from Sergio Hernandez or Dan Prest,
depending on what you believe.
We were confused. He's recently new to comics and he reads mostly DC stuff, but he wants to get in some Marvel stuff. He's read Ultimate, and he's wondering what trade he should start with. He wants something to get him to want to buy more, basically.
I wish I could get stuff to make me want to buy less. X-Men.
Pick up the Dark Phoenix saga.
No, I was saying that'll make you want to buy less.
does.
Moving on.
Daredevil by Bendis. They're starting to come out in trades and hardcovers and stuff like that.
The hardcover for the first Daredevil.
The Kevin Smith Daredevil.
Yeah, the hardcover. Yeah. Well, the first 15 issues, which is Kevin Smith
they
and...
They just released that, yeah.
Quesada.
Is it Quesada? And then the guy who wrote Back to the Future.
Oh, yeah,
the second
yeah.
arc. David Gale? No.
No, Bob.
Bob Gale. Bob Gale. And then David Mack. I don't know how many of those are in there. Those are awesome comics, and you don't almost need to know anything. That's when Joe Quesada still drew, and I loved those issues.
Yeah, those are really good. Also, you know, the typical Astonishing X-Men, those first two trades and that sort of stuff.
New Avengers. The first couple of trades of those.
His second question is, he has a few questions he'd like us to answer. Are the Young Avengers something like the Teen Titans?
No.
Not at all.
Well, I keep meaning to pick
the Teen
that up.
Titans is
Wait a minute. Avengers is written by Alan Heinberg.
Oh no.
Don't buy that.
Yeah, no, don't buy that at all. Yeah.
Wait, do you read it?
I read it.
Is it good?
It started off really, really good, and then it dipped a little, but then it ended really strong. Okay. So.
It's over?
They do it in like
yeah,
seasons.
They're doing seasons.
So. I've got to pick those trades up.
I was just going to explain the difference between the two teams.
Go for it.
The Teen Titans is a collection of... a collection of sidekicks.
Yeah.
Whereas the Young Avengers are a collection of people, young characters ripping off older. They have no connection to the older characters. They're just wearing the costumes. Whereas the Teen Titans, actually, there's a family aspect to, you know, it started off with the whole idea of the team was you had these sidekicks sitting around while the adult heroes went off and did, you know, adventures. And so they said, well, we're all hanging out. Let's just do stuff. And that's how they came about.
Yep.
It's less of that now, but you still, the core of it is still Robin, Wonder Girl. You know, the sidekick element, Kid Devil and Ravager, those are sidekicks also. So
yep.
That's the main difference. They're connected to the other characters, whereas Young Avengers are not connected at all to the other characters.
Yep. Well, Young Avengers are younger iterations of, they're inspired by the Avengers. So
right, but they're not.
Yeah, but they're not sidekicks.
And then the Runaways are completely different.
Yep. But the Young Avengers all have deep hidden connections to the Avengers, though, as that you found out.
That's
the series.
Gimmicky.
Well, no, it was cool. Actually, it was really. I mean, It was done well, despite Alan Heinberg. Damn you, Heinberg!
Are you going to stop watching Grey's Anatomy too? Because that's where.
And he wants to. He wants to know what about the Runaways?
They're kids.
He's heard a lot about the book, but still don't know what it's about.
Okay. Josh. Basically, the quick pitch is that a bunch of kids find out that all their parents are supervillains. And they decide to rebel.
They decide to run away.
A lot of stuff happens, and they run away. Obviously,
yeah.
It's a really good self-contained story, and if you go, I think Connor, you buy them in the backpack book format.
Yeah, they're the little digest trades.
Manga size.
They're really manga.
And then there's hardcover books as well.
The first season was awesome. The second one has gone up and down, but it's genuinely pretty good.
I think the first season of it is 12 issues. And
I think
then
two of those
that,
little trade books.
Yeah, and then after that, I think they're on 18 or 19 now with the second season. Pretty good. I mean, they read real fast. They're probably really good in trade form.
Yep.
I really quite enjoy them.
All right, so that wraps it up for the listener mail. So if you have anything you want to ask us or want our opinion on, you can email us at contact@ifanboy.com. It is back to school, so you know, feel free to write the essays and research papers and send them to us, and we'll proofread them for you.
No, we won't.
No, I'm just kidding. Anyway,
I do sometimes.
I'm busy.
Thank you to everybody who wrote in. You can also, if you're interested in hearing your voice on the podcast, you can leave a voicemail. And we got a bunch as well this week. So our first voicemail comes from Mike from South Carolina.
Well, hi there, fanboys. I'm hanging out at the world's greatest comic book store in Asheville, North Carolina. That's Hero Hunters Comics.
Ding.
This is Mike from Greenwood, South Carolina. Giving you a call. Just listen to the podcast. It was a great one this week. Loved it. Well played, by the way, with the Joanna Hex reference. Well played, fanboys.
Joanna?
We are huge in the Carolinas. Why?
We are. I know. It's like, I know, it's amazing.
Not complaining. It's just perplexing.
Subtle plug for a store there.
Always plug your store, as I say.
That's we like the store.
Yeah, true. Yeah, yeah. Heroes Comics and Cards in Norwalk, Connecticut. You can see them on our MySpace page at myspace.com/ifanboy.
Any good store should be able to tell you all these recommendations that we say all the time. You should go in there and say, I like this, and they should say,
if they're worth their salt, they should be able to help you out.
That's how they should be able to stay in business.
I feel like that's an answer to one of our upcoming voicemails. But our next voicemail is supposed to be Drew from the Sci-Fi Scoundrels podcast, but Drew, there was a lot of noise on the line, and we couldn't hear it. So if you want to call us back.
We could barely hear it.
I did catch one thing. So if you're listening to this, call us back and ask us your question again. And he told me to stop doing voices, and I will. Just because you asked nicely.
Oh, just do one more. Do one.
At that point, I thought you were going to do that. Your horrendous Italian accent.
Ah,
wheel.
Oh, we're going to go to America and read the comic books.
Oh, God, you really should stop.
Your ancestors are going to come up and kill
they
you.
They are. My grandfathers are going to come rise from the dead and beat me.
Who's up next? Jimsky?
Jimsky.
I love Jimsky.
Hey, guys. This is Jimsky calling from the Midwest. How you guys doing? Listen, I was reading the posts on your message board today, and I came across a couple from a guy, a poster, who seemed to have some very strong opinions. They were very, very different than mine, and he seemed to hate every book I loved. He seemed to buy every book I ignored. He seems to be obsessed with DC. I'm more of a Marvel guy. And as I was reading his posts, it occurred to me, you know, as he was dissing somebody, probably Bendis or something, I was reading his post and I thought, oh my God, this guy is my Bizarro. Or maybe I'm his Bizarro. And it got me to thinking, do you, as far as you know in this world, do you have a Bizarro? And if so, who is it? Is it someone you know? Is it someone famous? Who is your Bizarro? This is the question I put before you. Thanks a lot for everything, guys. Talk to you later.
He's vaguely from the Midwest.
He didn't want to pin it down. Probably because he's calling other dudes out.
Exactly. And if for our listeners who don't come to ifanboy.com, if you come to ifanboy.com, you can see Jimsky's post, and you could probably figure out who he's talking about.
It'll all make sense.
And who, when he listens to this, he's probably going to write in all caps, which is fine.
Oh, come on,
Ron. Do you have a doppelganger?
Yeah, it's probably Josh.
Which is odd. It's ironic, since nobody out there knows what the difference between us is.
Man, you stole my joke.
Did I?
My joke was going to be, my doppelganger was kind of shorter, had a thick head of hair, like Marvel, just like DC. Wait a minute, it's Ron.
Oh, I'm your doppelganger. Yes. Oh, that's so weird. So, Josh, is Connor your doppelganger?
Apparently. Not really.
Oh, interesting.
We can't all be in a room together.
You know who my doppelganger is?
Who?
Same as Jimsky's.
When I was in 8th grade, people used to say I look like Fred Savage. Okay, moving on.
I don't see that at all.
Yeah, no, neither did I. It drove me crazy. I actually had a substitute teacher who used to taunt me when he dumped Kevin.
He did what?
He used to taunt me.
Do what?
Taunt me.
Awesome.
Taunt? What? That was the accent. That's why I'm not like Ron.
Taunt.
Say, right. Say hot dog.
Oh my
dog.
God, it's taunting.
Hot dog. I'm from Long Island. Deal with it, Heinberg. Our last voicemail comes from Glenn from Huntsville, Alabama.
Hey, guys. Glenn Watson from Huntsville, Alabama. Great show. I have a question you might not want to get into. What is the deal with John Byrne? The guy's a great artist and a passable writer, but he's just mean to everyone. His message board is filled with sycophants who love him, but no one's allowed to say anything Byrne does not like. Byrne has had disputes with Peter David, Jim Shooter, Joe Quesada, Marv Wolfman, Chris Claremont, Eric Larson, and that's not a complete list. He bans fans and pub comic professionals from his board so often it's ridiculous. His outrageous statements are too many to list, but here's a few. He complained about Bob Kane the day he died. He publicly stated that Christopher Reeves was no hero on the day he died. He said Latino women with blonde hair look like hookers. He wrote that using the N-word is just fine. He writes it all the time. What is this guy's problem? P.S. He called me a jackass and banned me from his board, so yeah, it's personal.
Oh, we really want to stay away from this topic.
You don't want to get insulted by John Byrne on his message board?
No. Every time you see John Byrne mentioned on the internet, it gets really, really ugly.
Yeah, and we just don't want to be involved at all.
It gets ugly in that stereotypical comic fan ugly way.
Yeah.
And we usually avoid
We're
trying to avoid it.
If anything, I don't want to say anything about him purely because I want to keep watching it from a distance but never get close enough to it. So...
He's fascinating from the stuff that I hear, though.
No, more.
Oh,
so,
I'm putting up a post of John Byrne stories.
Thank you, Glenn, and good luck.
You're fine.
Dealing with that, trying to figure out John Byrne, because we can't figure it out. So that's all our voicemails for this episode. So if you want to call us, you can call us at 1-888-FANBOYS. That's I don't have it in front of me.
It works for Alan Heinberg as well. He can call 888-FANBOYS and meet this challenge.
Yeah, Alan Heinberg, it's toll-free. Not that your rich Hollywood money can't afford a phone call to New York.
Fanboys is 3-2-6-2-6-9-7.
I used an old script template, didn't I?
Yeah, you did. Thanks so much for that. So, 1-888-FANBOYS. And Heinberg, we're more prepared than usual. We're not as prepared as usual. We're normally more together. All right.
Usually the show is better.
Listen, Alan Heinberg, you might write for big TV shows, but we've got 316 people on our Frapper map.
Including Kim Swanson from Tennessee, Vicus Smith from New York, New York, Augie DeBleek.
Yeah, Augie.
I totally just butchered his last name.
Yeah, you did. It's Bleak. Yeah.
Mark Thomas from Rotterdam, England. Fangirl Ashley from New York, New York. Jeremy Phil from Boca Raton, Florida. JP Kakanuma from Portland, Oregon.
Is his last name Kakanuma?
Yes, it is. Ryan Hellum from Rancho Cordova, California. And Brian Robinson from Clanton, Alabama.
So, yeah. Go to frapper.com/ifanboy.
Is there a girl in there?
Yes.
There was a girl from New York.
Fangirl Ashley.
Yes, Fangirl Ashley. Thank you.
She heeded the call. If you want to go to put another pin in the map, which you should because there are a lot more of you than 316.
There's people who have taken the time to write in but haven't taken the time to put a pin in the map.
There are people who have taken the time to write in. There are people who are our friends at myspace.com/ifanboy. There are people who post. There are people who download the podcast, and none of the numbers add up.
iFanboy Frapper Map is frapper.com/ifanboy. I was missing a preposition in there, but we can go past
that's okay.
It.
You want to hear your name, don't you, on the show? It's the way to get it done.
I think we should wrap this up.
Please.
So check out ifanboy.com, the best comic book website that Alan Heinberg's never been to, where we talk all about comic books, and we react to the news, and we talk about a lot of good stuff, including Transformers, because we just can't stop talking about Transformers.
The thread keeps coming up.
As well as you can read the weekly pick of the week review.
What show is this?
I don't know. And you can also read what people like Jimsky and Daryl and the dude have been reading as well, because they're awesome as well. So, email us at contact@ifanboy.com. Call us at 1-888-FANBOYS.
Vote for us, Podcast Alley. Write a review on iTunes. Tell your friends.
Review in iTunes.
Spread the review in the comic stores.
Yeah, please spread the word. Spread the word on the websites and all the various stuff. Get the iFanboy word out there. And if you really like what we're doing and you want to see us do more of it and make it better and all that sort of thing, you can go to ifanboy.com/donations and donate via PayPal and help us out, because it takes money to make stuff happen. So
that's it for the show this week, boys.
I'm Ron.
I'm Josh.
Are you sure?
Yeah, I just thought you were going to talk.
I'm Connor.
But Alan Heinberg is going to hate this show.
Listen, Alan Heinberg. I'm calling you out. But no, but I was glad to see other podcasts get mentioned. Well, my whole thing is that, like, okay, Alan Heinberg, I know that you've been interviewed on Word Balloon, and you've been interviewed on Fanboy Radio. Just because we don't kowtow to the creators and kiss their asses,
you're digging our deeper hole.
I'm just digging a seat. This is all going to get edited out, so it doesn't really matter.
All right.
So, Joe Casey, you want to be on the show, but you can't be yet. You
no.
Wait.
Deal with it, Heinberg.
This episode is brought to you by BetterHelp. How's your social battery doing right now? I've never used that phrase, but I instantly know what it means, and I think it's interesting because it works two different ways. Some people need to have their social battery charged, and they this is the introvert-extrovert thing. And some people, you know, like, they've got enough energy for other people, but then it's time to sort of step away. And, you know, as we get to this part where winter is ending, which, again, it's opposite. I love winter. I don't need it to end. You know, you start getting together with more people, and it can be a little draining on top of every other thing that we all have going on in our lives. I just assume everybody's overburdened, because I think everybody's overburdened. But it can be tough to deal with. And also, like, one of the things is, like, you can't necessarily understand why you feel that way or why it's making you tired, but it's a real thing. If you think that you could use some help with it, if you could figure out a way to make things better, therapy is a great way to help. It can give you that kind of self-awareness to know how to ride that level just right, so that you feel good, you feel right. if you're thinking of starting therapy, you can give BetterHelp a try. It is entirely online. It is designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule, which is, again, we've been talking about being busy, right? You got to fit that in. You got a lunch period. You can do it during that time, whichever. That's possible. You fill out a brief questionnaire and get matched with a licensed therapist. You can switch therapists at any time for no additional charge. I like that. There is no penalty for finding the person who is right for you. Find your social sweet spot with BetterHelp. Visit BetterHelp.com/iFanboy today. Get 10% off of your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.com/iFanboy.